Unit 8, HIT System Planning, Acquisition, Installation, and Training, Practices to Support and Pitfalls to Avoid. Unit 8 is a unit where the core definitions and concepts of HIT systems planning, acquisition, installation, and training are presented. A variety of different settings will be used as examples in the unit, including small office practices, community clinics, acute care facilities, and skilled nursing facilities. Students will conduct simulated user needs analysis, and using the lab EHRS, will identify gaps in meeting those needs. Students will develop training plans for a variety of settings. By the end of this unit, students will be able to apply concepts learned in the unit to be able to conduct a basic user needs analysis for an HIT systems implementation in various healthcare settings, ranging from a small office practice to a large community clinic to a single unit in an ambulatory care setting. Students will also be able to create a training plan as part of the implementation, identify potential challenges that may emerge during the implementation, such as lack of computer literacy in staff, and generate strategies to overcome these challenges. Acquiring HIT systems in many cases requires an enormous financial commitment on the part of the healthcare organization or provider. Costs, including the initial investment in software, ongoing maintenance fees, consulting, support, and other long-term expenses, require that any HIT acquisition be carefully planned. This planning should be based on reliable and complete information about the needs of the organization and the capabilities of the system being considered. Many major HIT system implementations fail because of poor planning, incomplete information gathering, and failure to gain input from all stakeholders. If the organization is not prepared to dedicate time to the process of planning the HIT implementation, then it should wait to begin the process until time and resources are available. Once the decision has been made to proceed and there is true commitment on the part of the organization to support the process, a systematic approach and careful planning will help ensure success. As you approach the process of acquiring and installing a new HIT system, it will be helpful to use a framework to guide you, to be sure that you don't skip over important steps that should be considered. One framework that is commonly used in the IT field to help guide IT systems implementations is known as the Software Development Lifecycle, or Systems Development Process. Software, or systems development, implies a process that is used to create new information systems, as opposed to acquiring a system that has already been developed. However, most of the steps of this process are applicable to both, either a project to create a new system or to acquire a new system. So in this sense, the development stage of this framework can refer to the process of creating the software or acquiring it. There are four main steps that make up the software development lifecycle. The planning and analysis step involves determining how work that will be impacted by a new HIT system is done now, what the desired future state is, and analyzing what it will take to reach the future state. The next step, design, is where solutions are examined and chosen, either by creating or acquiring an IT system to address the determined needs. After a system is created or acquired, it must then be implemented. Implementation includes installing the system or otherwise making the system available to the organization. With the increased use of hosted systems, such as the ASP or Application Service Provider and cloud hosting options, installation may not be necessary. Implementation also includes important related activities, most importantly, training. Finally, during the support and evaluation step, ongoing support and training is continued, and the solution is evaluated to ensure that the needs identified during the planning and analysis step are being met. Unmet needs and newly identified requirements may be reason to return to the beginning and restart the process. As was mentioned before, systems development does not necessarily mean coding by a dedicated team of computer programmers. The software development process has its origins in the early days of computers, when vendor-provided solutions to complex business needs were uncommon, requiring organizations to build their own systems. Vendors with off-the-shelf solutions to a wide variety of business needs are now common, so it is at least as likely to be able to find an available commercial system to meet the needs of a healthcare organization as it would be necessary to develop such a system from scratch. In fact, in small practice settings, it is highly unlikely that such an organization would endeavor to try to develop a custom solution. The availability of hosted systems, including the application service provider, ASP, model of software delivery, and the concept of cloud computing, in which applications are hosted online and accessible from any location, means that even the notion of an off-the-shelf solution is beginning to be supplanted by an expectation of the always-on, all-online software system. The hosted option allows a healthcare organization to implement an HIT system without the need to support the IT infrastructure that would be required of an off-the-shelf, locally installed system. Another option that small healthcare practices may want to consider is to partner with other healthcare organizations, either to share the effort to support the implementation of an HIT system, or to utilize HIT systems that are already in place from another organization that is willing to share access. It is not uncommon, for example, for hospitals to provide EHR software to provider practices in their region. There are many steps to any medium to large-scale HIT systems acquisition project that should be considered within each major stage of the system's implementation process, much of which is beyond the scope of what we can cover in this unit. For example, effective project management is of course important to the success of any project, and is a topic that by itself is often the subject of a semester-long college course. Fortunately, there are many resources that are available to you that can be used to guide your work, some of which are included at the end of this unit and in the suggested readings. We will focus on a few important steps, including the strategic planning processes that should be the first step in deciding to pursue any HIT systems implementation, user needs analysis, and training. A prerequisite to starting any HIT systems implementation project, especially a project on a large scale, such as an EHR implementation, is to be sure that the organization has a good reason for pursuing new technologies. If the organization does not have a strategic plan in place that provides a vision for what the organization is about, what its goals and priorities are, then it will be difficult to determine whether a new HIT system will have a positive impact. The impetus to pursue new technologies should be driven by the goals of the organization and should support the organization's efforts to achieve those goals and fulfill its mission. Assuming that the organization's goals and mission are clear, then a vision for the new HIT system should be developed. This vision should make it clear how the HIT system will fit into the larger goals of the organization. For example, if one of the goals of an organization is to improve patient care, the vision for a new HIT system may include the reduction of medical errors. A vision for the new system based on the strategic goals of the organization must be the impetus for looking at new HIT systems, not the technology itself. Too often, healthcare practitioners may see a new technology system and become enamored with the bells and whistles. Don't get caught up in the hype of a system and proceed with implementation without carefully considering whether the system makes sense for the organization, whether it helps the organization achieve its strategic goals. Careful consideration of the vision for the new HIT system will also help fuel the requirements for the system. Most HIT systems will have many features and capabilities that an organization could choose to implement, and the temptation may be to implement everything that seems like a good idea. But again, the vision for what is needed should drive the implementation, not the features of the system. A requirements gathering process based on the vision, which is in turn based on the mission and goals of the organization, will dictate the priorities for the features that must be included. Let's turn our attention now to how you go about gathering requirements for a new HIT system. Ultimately, what you need to create is a set of documents that describes in some detail exactly what you want a potential new HIT system to do for your organization. In most cases, implementation of a system is going to change the way your organization works. It will impact how work-related tasks are completed by some, if not all, of the employees in your organization. So it is critically important that you understand exactly how the work that will be impacted by the new HIT system is currently done. The process of coming up with the requirements for a system is often referred to as user needs analysis or business process modeling. What you are trying to capture in this process is how you want the work in your organization to be done, incorporating the new functionality afforded by the new system. There are two important pieces to this process, the first of which is often overlooked. First, you need to understand in detail how the work is done currently, using a process we'll call business process analysis. Secondly, you need to determine how the existing workflows can be streamlined and improved, using a process we'll call business process improvement. The first part of this process, analyzing the current workflows, is often overlooked because many within the organization think that they already understand how the work is currently done and that it doesn't need to be documented. The problem, however, is that business processes in many organizations are not as well understood as many within the organization would like to believe. The process of documenting existing workflows very often uncovers steps that are a surprise to some. You don't want the people responsible for determining functional requirements to make assumptions about how work is done. These assumptions could spell disaster in the HIT implementation if a key step in a given workflow is missing because the system implementation team didn't understand the existing process. The most obvious way to start documenting your existing business processes is to talk to those within the organization who are responsible for completing the work that you wish to document. It is also very beneficial to observe the work being done and to share the documentation that you create with those you have interviewed and observed to be sure that you have it right. The more you are able to iterate through a cycle of observation, interview, and sharing of your analysis as the work process is executed multiple times, the more likely you are to understand exactly how the process is done. It is also a good idea to seek out checklists, if any exist for the process that you are analyzing, that will help ensure that steps that are normally part of a process are included in your analysis. Having these checklists as guides can help you fully document a process more quickly. As you start to conduct user needs analysis, you will discover that some people within an organization will find it very difficult to describe exactly how a given workflow is executed. That is why observation should be an important part of your analysis. It is also very helpful to share how you have documented a process with a user to receive feedback, and the best way to share this information is in the form of some kind of visual representation of the business process, such as something as simple as a flow chart, or something more complex such as a UML diagram. There are various tools that you can use to create these visual representations of a business process. If you are new to these kinds of tools, it is best to use something simple, even as simple as a piece of paper and pen. Here is an example flow chart snippet of a business process created quickly and easily with PowerPoint. There are other programs with very sophisticated capabilities and more formal methods of documenting processes. But the process does not need to be complicated to be thorough. The important point is that you take the time to document the processes in some form that is concise, complete, and easily followed. As you begin the process of documenting your existing business processes, you inevitably will begin to consider how these processes could be improved. This would likely happen whether or not you plan to implement a new HIT system. Business process improvement is the exercise of carefully looking at existing business processes and identifying how these processes could be changed to provide some benefit to the organization, such as improved staff productivity or increased patient satisfaction. Exactly what changes you will want to consider for a given workflow should be dependent on the vision that you set forth in the beginning of the HIT system implementation project. or should at least be tied to the goals of the organization or to local or national health care improvement priorities. In an EHR system implementation, for example, improved workflows could support simplification of the charting process, increased accessibility to healthcare data on the part of providers and patients, improved safety, more comprehensive documentation, and the ability to delegate tasks to make most efficient use of provider and staff time. As you work to create new and improved workflows for your organization, it will of course be beneficial for you to at least have a general idea of the capabilities of the proposed HIT system and how these can be integrated into the new workflows. You can learn this information during the information gathering process through various techniques such as attending training on various systems and contacting existing users of the systems that you are investigating. As you develop the new workflows, if possible, mock these up within the HIT systems that you are considering so that you can demonstrate to the staff as concretely as possible how the new system will impact the work of the organization. The final area of the HIT systems implementation process we will examine in this unit is training. Training is an ongoing activity that may be started in the systems implementation process as early as the planning and analysis phase, where training can be used as a form of information gathering for those who will be tasked to understand the HIT system's options to be pursued. For most of the end users in an organization, however, training usually begins sometime after the new system has been chosen and acquired, during the implementation phase, and continuing through the support and evaluation phase. There are some key points to consider as you plan for training. The first is that the timing of the training is very important. You do not want to schedule training on a system long before it will be used, since users are unlikely to retain knowledge they cannot readily put into practice. Obviously, you don't want to schedule training after it is needed. As part of your implementation process, you should set up a practice version of the system that will be used for training. Such a system provides a safe place for users unfamiliar with the system to learn without the fear of messing up real data. You should design your training to meet the needs of users with different roles within the organization. So, for example, you should not force clerical staff to sit through training on CPOE, or computerized provider order entry, if they will never use that functionality within an EHR system. Similarly, to improve the efficiency of the training and user satisfaction with the training, work out a strategy to first determine what level of knowledge users already have and tailor the training to cover only those topics that they need additional training on. Assessing individual users' current skill level may also help uncover users who lack basic computing skills that may be an assumed prerequisite for starting training on the new HIT system. Providing remedial basic computer skills training for such users will help them succeed with the new system. As you design your training, understand that people prefer to learn in different ways. Some may prefer to learn the big picture of the system and be fully immersed in all of the features and functions of the system at once, while others may only want to receive training a little at a time, targeting only those functions that they will immediately need in their job. This is known as just-in-time training. The just-in-time training is often much easier to implement as an online, self-paced training option, whereas a classroom-based, instructor-led course tends to be more all-encompassing. Some will prefer to complete the training at their own pace, while others will want to be guided by an instructor. Instruction to a group can be very efficient and cost-effective. However, smaller group and one-on-one training may be needed to deliver a focused curriculum, particularly if the use of a given system will vary greatly depending on a person's role in the organization. Your training should accommodate a variety of different schedules, and training time should be carefully factored into the existing workload of your staff. You may want to include in your project budget funds to cover staff time spent on training outside of their normal working hours. You should carefully consider who best to deliver the training It will, of course, be an advantage to have someone who you know is a champion of the new system develop or lead the training than it would be to have someone who has no enthusiasm for the system, or worse yet, is hostile to any change. You should also carefully consider whether to have someone within the organization or outside the organization deliver the training. Having an internal user deliver training may afford you the opportunity to utilize someone who is well-trusted and well-respected, which will help ease adoption of the new system. So some keys to ensure the success of your training plan include lining up convenient locations for the training, as well as convenient times. Part of the convenience equation can include developing online, self-paced versions of the training. The training should be focused on the skills that individuals will need to utilize the new system based on their role in the organization. Finally, you will have much greater success if you employ knowledgeable trainers who are flexible in their approach, can competently address questions, and expertly guide users as they pick up new skills. As was mentioned before, training can start early in the system's development process, and it should continue as long as the HIT system is in place. Users will need to have the option to revisit training as they need to brush up on their skills, learn new skills as roles change, and to accommodate new people joining the organization. Building in flexible options, such as instructor-led, classroom-based courses, as well as online self-paced options, will increase the likelihood of success for your training initiative. Of course, the more options you support, the costlier the options. So all of these things should be carefully considered and planned for in the initial phases of the project. The success of an HIT systems implementation initiative will depend on many things going well. We've highlighted a few of the key processes that you will need to engage in, such as strategic planning, user needs analysis, and training. There are many other areas that will need to be considered, and to help you keep up with all of the things to consider, you should seek out resources tailored to the particular setting and type of HIT system you will be deploying, such as the Docket resource highlighted earlier for EHR implementation in a doctor's office setting. Some general key success factors that will apply to most systems acquisition projects include the readiness of the organization, availability of a champion, perceived usefulness of the system, and organizational teamwork. Is the organization ready for the new system? Do they understand what the system can do? Are they prepared to spend the time and effort to investigate the options and choose a system? Are they prepared to devote the time necessary for implementing a new system? This, by the way, is never insignificant and should be carefully planned for. You or your users should expect for work to be more difficult as a new system is implemented and integrated into the organization, since there is often an overlap period as old business processes are phased out and new ones are brought in, and everyone struggles to learn. However, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and the more you prepare users to understand exactly what the implementation process will be and convince users of the usefulness of the new system, the more likely you are to have a satisfied workforce. Finally, do you have a champion who is behind the project and committed to its success? And is this champion available to provide needed time to the project? Does your organization demonstrate good teamwork? This is particularly important for smaller organizations since successful change often occurs more organically from within the ranks rather than from the top down. Making connections with people and ensuring their commitment to the project is more important than the technology and its capabilities. So as you embark on a systems acquisition project, ask yourself these questions. If you can't answer them in the affirmative, your project may struggle. We move on to the next objective for this unit, which is to help you to create plans for training and implementing users in small office practices, or a large community clinic, or a single unit in an ambulatory care setting. Of course, as discussed throughout this unit, there is no way that we can actually teach you all you need to know in one unit of of the component of your curriculum. Our goal with the remaining few slides is to teach you how to fish rather than simply giving you a single fish. In keeping with the often heard advice, give a man a fish, you have fed him for today. Teach a man to fish, and you have fed him for a lifetime. To move along with that in mind, we are seeing that as the use of HIT becomes more ubiquitous and the accessibility of knowledge and materials to drive adoption increase, we are finding more and more helpful materials and tools that are available for us on the web by HIT workers. This open availability will help to stop the continual reinvention of the wheel that we see day in and day out, and will enable us to start sharing our knowledge and best practices across distances. Of course, no one should accept, carte blanche, materials that appear on the internet without careful consideration of the source, the quality, the accuracy, and the currency of what is available. However, as highlighted over and over again by the Pew Foundation studies in internet use by the public, the web has become a major source of knowledge acquisition by people from all walks of life. We just need to know ourselves and teach our clients how to judge quality of what we find. The shift in pedagogy being evidenced today requires also that we move away from expecting students to use rote memorization to master content. Instead, we are focusing more now on teaching students how to find the answer rather than try to memorize it, along with how to gauge the quality of what they find. In that vein, what we provide in the next three slides are not step-by-step instructions of how to plan, acquire, install, and train for EHR implementation in the three contexts mentioned in the objectives, the small office practice, a large community clinic, or a single unit in an ambulatory care setting. Instead, we provide links to toolkits that are very extensive, vetted, and geared towards these three environments for your use and consideration. As you open these links from the next three slides, you will quickly understand why they are not provided directly in the slide decks. As mentioned throughout Component 7, each of the units that make up Working with HIT Systems could, in and of itself, be an independent three-credit course. Moreover, in our goal to teach you where to find the answers, rather than providing reams of material for you to memorize, linking you to toolkits may be a more efficient and effective way to guide you to materials that you may require in your careers as HIT workers. Bookmark these sites and remember them as you progress through your curriculum and move into your career. The first toolkit we would like to direct you to is focused upon the HIT system planning, acquisition, installation, and training for skilled nursing facilities and/or long-term care facilities. You will note that the processes covered in the toolkit are similar across all three settings: offices, clinics, and skilled nursing facilities. As we discussed in prior units, oftentimes the processes in healthcare are similar, but the contexts differ. A skilled nursing facility, or SNF, may care for patients with many common characteristics of a long-term care facility, or LTC, or nursing home. But the length of stays for an SNF are much shorter. When considering this in the planning process, this will change certain aspects of the process. The regulations change, and the focus is usually more intense in regards to rehabilitation and preparing the patient for discharge. However, many other aspects between an SNF and an LTC are quite common. Populations are generally older, the provider mix in these sorts of facilities is different, additional regulations exist in regards to patients' assessments mandated by CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Administration, exist, and so on. The takeaway point here is there is no one-size-fits-all. But as these toolkits continue to proliferate and increase in accessibility, the wise HIT practitioner learns how to find them, where to find them, and how to determine quality of what is provided. The toolkits that we provide for you in these next few slides are examples that you can call upon as you are faced with the challenges of planning, acquiring, installing, and training in a variety of settings. On this slide, you will find a URL for an HIT System Planning Acquisition Installation and Training Toolkit for SNFs and LTCs. Developed by Stratus Health, this toolkit was funded by Aging Services of Minnesota, Alliance Purchasing, and MHHA Service Corporation for use by nursing homes in Minnesota. At the time of the development of this material, September 2010, the toolkit was available at the URL listed on the slide. These tools are copyrighted and are provided as examples only. In discussing the unique aspects of a provider practice environment or a small clinic, we provide links to two toolkits that can be used as templates for the entire process of system planning, acquisition, installation, and training in small provider practices or small clinics. The first URL, called Docket, is a toolkit in the public domain, meaning that it is not copyrighted and you can freely use the material without attribution. As you will see later in this unit, we provide an example of an abbreviated user needs requirement process, an audio recording or podcast. We use the materials present in this workbook to guide that example. The Docket workbook is a tremendous resource and contains many checklists, examples, and diagrams that are extremely beneficial to guide the system planning, acquisition, installation, and training process in the real world. These materials are in the public domain, supported by federal funding, and will increase your efficiency by saving you from reinventing the wheel or trying to figure out how to do this from scratch. This does not mean that you may not have to modify the process somewhat to fit the nuances of regional, local, or cultural differences, but it does provide a touchstone to guide your work. The second toolkit was developed by Stratus Health, and it is copyrighted but fully accessible on the web. At the time of the development of this material in September 2010, the toolkit was available at the URLs listed on the slide. These are provided as examples only. Finally, the last toolkit that we direct you to examine is one that is focused upon clinics and safety net hospitals. You will note that some mention is made of clinic assessments in the prior slide regarding small provider practices, which some analysts may cluster with or consider with small provider practices. Therefore, if you are focused specifically on a clinic, you may need to assess the size and scope of the clinic and view both this URL and the one provided on the prior slide, both from Stratus Health. A small clinic that has only three providers may have needs that more closely resemble a small provider practice, in contrast to a large urban clinic that contains multi-specialties and treats large numbers of patients per day. A final point to be made in regards to clinics is to emphasize that clinics and ambulatory care settings are one of the most rapidly transforming aspects of our healthcare system in the United States. Recall from prior units the discussion of emerging sites of care, where clinics are popping up in workplaces, strip malls, and retail clinics. Recall that the provider mix is changing, and many clinics are using what are sometimes referred to as physician extenders, or nurse practitioners, physician assistants, or clinical nurse specialists, particularly in remote or low-resource areas. The takeaway point here is that as you help clients to plan for, acquire, install, and train, that you must be very attuned to not only the current and real users that exist at the sharp end, meaning the frontline users who end up actually having to use what is implemented, but also the way that our healthcare system is changing. An important lesson is that you should not be planning for today. As Wayne Gretzky, the famous ice hockey player, has revealed, his greatness came from an uncanny ability to skate to where the puck was going to be. The whole process of planning, acquiring, installing, and training requires that you have an eye on the future, plan for where healthcare is going to be, not where it is right now. At the time of the development of this material in September 2010, the toolkit was available at the URL displayed on the slide. These tools are copyrighted and are provided as examples only. This concludes Unit 8. To summarize, we have covered the core concepts of HIT systems planning, acquisition, installation, and training. We looked in some detail how to strategically plan for the implementation, conduct user needs analysis, and prepare for training. We demonstrated how to implement these strategies using some specific healthcare settings and the EHR system as an example, taking advantage of resources available online to help guide our work. Finally, we covered some of the key success factors to an HIT systems implementation and highlighted how failure to address these factors could challenge the implementation.